Kamala Harris's campaign. Just 28% of Americans think the U.S. is on the right track. And I want you to put that into perspective, right? When does the average, when the incumbent party loses the election, look at that. It's just 25%. That looks a heck of a lot like that 28%, right, that currently think the country is on the right track. When the White House party wins, i.e. Kamala Harris's party, the Democrats, 42% on average think that the country is on the right track. This 25% looks a lot more like this 28%. It doesn't look anything like this 42%. This, to me, is a bad sign for Kamala Harris's campaign. The bottom line is, it looks a lot more like a loser than it does like a winner when it comes to the country being on the right track.
Well, there's CNN saying not so great things if you're the Harris campaign. And we've seen Kamala Harris on the 60 Minutes interview last night. And you're just thinking to yourself, man, put her out of her misery here. She's not the candidate for the job. She's not the woman for the time. But that's who the Democrats specifically selected to face Donald Trump. It's hard to get excited about the possibility of a Donald Trump victory, but that's why we bring Tammy Bruce onto the show. Fox News contributor, AMAC columnist, and a best-selling author. Her current book, Fear Itself, Exposing the Left's Mind-Killing Agenda. Tammy, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being here with us today.
Well, it's always great. Thank you for having me.
You know, the last time or maybe two times ago when you were on here, you kind of gave us a pep talk, and it was something that needed to be heard by me and a lot of our listeners who commented on it. I don't think I'm emotionally prepared for Donald Trump to win this election because we've been dealing with these last 3.5 years. It's been a dirge to go through this and experience this and question everything, that it's hard to think forward about Donald Trump winning, but it does feel like the signs are pointing to that direction.
Yes. And, you know, the reason we're all kind of unclear is it's a combination. It's that we know, and it's never been denied, that there is cheating in elections. The issue becomes, you know, how significant is that? Are the shenanigans? How widespread? And specifically, how do they affect the swing states? And so it's usually been to a degree where the victory of someone really can overcome that kind of cheating, but also that it was not really organized in a major way, especially by one of the parties or by the federal government itself. So the problem is that regardless of who you're for or what you believe happened in 2020, is that the fact is the conversation has been there. And it's been, you know, all over the place. It's been looked at. It's been addressed. Again, there's a great deal that can't be denied in a normal framework. And then we have this year, very different situation, Annie. You've got Laura Trump, you know, head of the party. You've got lawsuits that were like preemptive lawsuits for states regarding issues of people who are illegal aliens registered to vote, as an example, in Virginia. Glenn Youngkin, they purged thousands and thousands of illegal aliens from their voter rolls. You know, states are looking at, I think it was Virginia, that things would be hand counted only. You know, so certain states are taking their own actions. And then the lawsuits regarding purging dead voters, purging people who just haven't voted in multiple cycles, people who are not citizens, lawsuits and good court decisions regarding what ballots can be counted, that if it's not, if the date's incorrect, if there is no date, if there is no signature, the rules we have in place for a reason that were jettisoned in many places in 2020 and 2022. Are now, you know, we're getting those under control. So there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes. We know that there's efforts made to tighten the situation up a bit. But there's a legitimacy issue, not only with the government, but with the processes that that various state governments oversee and what the blue states do versus the red states, et cetera. But beyond that, what we're looking at, when you say, and it is difficult for all of us because of what we've gone through, but imagine how much more difficult it is for the Trump family and for people on the ground and the nature of what makes this so important. The reason it's so important is because dramatic things are at stake, like the future.
Yeah.
Our family's futures, the future of the country, that alone can be exhausting, especially when you hear people on the other side lie and lie by omission, are obviously making things up. You know, this the Kamala Harris media stuff, going to the softball interview, still can't handle it. And we begin to wonder, especially about the issue of legitimacy, who is it that thinks that this is okay to do for this country at this point of time in the world, that they put somebody up who literally can't be honest with the American people, because then she would be rejected completely. They know what she represents we don't want, and so they must hide it from us. So that is also exhausting. But I would say, for those who, if you're, you don't want to go out on a limb and presume anything, and frankly, Annie, that's appropriate. Nothing is guaranteed. I'm a believer that things are as they should be, that God is in charge, but of course God has us with certain kinds of duties and jobs here on earth. And, you know, I'm seeing a much better environment than in 20, than in 16, 20 and 22.
Yes.
When it comes to infrastructure, I'm seeing, you know, we've got, you know, Twitter and social media has been, you know, removed from the complete control of the federal government. That helps us. We have an unusual and historic unity with Republicans involving people like Elon Musk and Robert Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard and others coming together, and, you know, in a horrible 4 years. So I think that with everything happening, you know, obviously, I think we should all vote for the person they keep trying to kill. That's a sign about who the establishment's afraid of. And when we see these numbers, and this will be my last point, Trump was always very behind. I mean, you can use the Hillary Clinton numbers when it was, you know, she was 80% ahead and he was, you know, 30% chance. I mean, you think the numbers now are difficult because they show that they're tied. It's not because pollsters suddenly understood how to poll people. He still runs, you know, he runs cold with the polls and overperforms with the election. So if you're looking at a man who is tied with Kamala Harris, and he always overperforms because it's dangerous now. I mean, you're going to talk to a stranger on the phone or even a texting message for polling, a man who everybody keeps trying to kill. I mean, that's the quintessential shy Trump voter.
Yes.
Where it is dangerous to speak your point of view. And so I am optimistic in where I see the polls. I'm optimistic in the commitment of President Trump. I'm optimistic in what the RNC is doing under Laura Trump. I'm optimistic in the passion and the enthusiasm of the Trump team. I mean, we had the biggest political rally, I think, in human history in Butler. You know, it's a remarkable time. It's frightening because, yes, either we get it right or we don't. And what we have to do is take it day by day, keep our nose to the grindstone,
keep working,
commit to the work. And I think we're going to be fine.
We're speaking with Tammy Bruce right now, and I want to ask you about the Kamala Harris factor in all of this. Do you feel like, I mean, it is amazing how terrible of a candidate she is. Did they just know that there was no way Joe Biden could win, so they just thought, well, this is our best shot at it? Did it not go according to plan? Was she supposed to be a better candidate? Like, how is this where the Democrat Party winds up and says, this is the best we got?
Well, I think that the first decision was about the down ballot races. The numbers for Joe Biden, the lack of enthusiasm, were devastating for them. So what they had was not the worry that Democrats would vote for Trump, is that Democrats would stay home. And there was just no reason to vote, which means they would have lost the House and the Senate as well, various gubernatorial races, et cetera. And I think that this was a Hail Mary pass, and it worked in that regard, to get the enthusiasm up enough to where their voters would not abandon them completely, and that they could, you know, at least not lose entirely. Now, there's still a chance that, you know, the Republicans can win the Senate and maintain control of the House. But the Democrats' worry was, if Trump's going to get elected, we can at least once again keep him tied down to have, you know, to not be able to operate with a House and a Senate. And also, if Trump wins, it is possible we've got one or two Supreme Court justices who will retire. And then for the first time, maybe I think since the mid part of the 20th century, that we'll have a Supreme Court dominated by conservative appointees. Mm-hmm. And so the Democrats are aware of that as well. So they want the Senate to try to make sure that nobody that he picks would get confirmed. Yeah. That's what they're thinking. But of course, in the meantime, and then the media is with them and they're gaslighting everybody. And it's helping. It will help the down ballot. They will have more people go to vote than they did with Biden. The difference is that can it work by mistake in getting her elected, right? It's like, what will the impact of the hurricanes be? Are we going to get people to be able to vote properly in North Carolina? I already know that, you know, people are on the ground getting that done. Things that they didn't anticipate, though, was Elon Musk and his involvement and Bobby Kennedy. They didn't anticipate those things. They just thought that they would screw everybody over and then everybody would meekly walk away and go home. It doesn't work like that. So, you know, I think that this is it was their only hope. Especially with the Obama team in charge effectively, and they could really, they can't have anybody like a Gretchen Whitmer or Gavin Newsom, who even though they're menaces, actually have minds of their own,
yeah,
and want their own power. That's why neither one of them are the vice presidential choice, because they're not going to be second to someone that they know is incompetent. So they're waiting for 28, those people like that. And, you know, this is if Kamala wins, the hopes for all those people are dashed. But I remain confident that Trump is going to win. But it's also about the Senate and the House. And it's about making sure that it's a win that is solid and dominant, so that the American people, you know, agree to allow him to get done what we need to get done in the midst of all of this.
Mm. One last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Tammy Bruce, who is a Fox News contributor and a best-selling author. I've heard a lot of people, Bobby Kennedy is probably the highest profile one, maybe Elon Musk as well, who have transitioned over to Trump, to MAGA, maybe to Republicanism, but maybe not necessarily conservatism, constitutionalism. Mm-hmm. You've been a Democrat mm-hmm. in your lifetime. What do you say to those people out there right now who are completely disenchanted by Kamala Harris and where the Democrats are and are trying to figure out if they can stomach checking the box for Donald Trump?
Well, I think that there's, when you become disillusioned, you realize that you've been lied to for so long and that it's insulting, especially Jewish Democrats. When you understand that Not all roads lead to Rome, that some the Democrat roads go off the cliff. So there is a moment here, and this is where the founders are genius, right? This is a 4-year term. It's one more term for Trump. It is enough time with enough support to get the country back on her feet. It's like going into an emergency room. You don't personally like the surgeon, but he is the best surgeon. Maybe on the planet, and your father's on the table. You're not going to say, I don't want him doing it. Let's wait. Let's wait and get some other doctor in who I might like personally better, even though I don't know the doctor personally. But we know the results of his work, and your father's life is at stake. And of course, you're going to say, please, doctor, thank you. And then you're going to pray, and you know that you've got the best doctor you can have. There are times when so much is at stake, these distractions that the Democrats have created about, ooh, I don't like the phrases he uses. You realize, my God, you're feeding your children cereal for dinner. Do you give a damn at this point about whether or not you're going to believe what The View tells you? Because they're not eating cereal for dinner. They're not worried about gas in their car. They don't care. And because they've got everything they need. And this is what this fight is now. It's not about Trump versus Kamala Harris. It is about a system that views us as an irritant to be stomped on versus freedom. And Trump will be the unlocking of the door for one term, and then the Republicans have to worry about who's up next in 28, because this is going to be a multi-generational fight. We can't, we saw the last 4 years. You think we can withstand going back and forth like this? What generation, which child are you going to abandon because you're going to be swayed again for another 8 years because somebody is a smooth talker on TV, or even if they're a salad talker that somebody, you know, on CNN or The View tells you that you got to do it because Trump is icky. You know, this is about, all right, being serious about our futures, knowing that the president makes a difference, and that is how people will vote. I'm absolutely convinced. And Trump, of course, we see every day, he's doing it for the right reasons. He's lost everything. And if he does not win, he knows he's going to jail. If he doesn't win, Elon Musk may go to jail. They will not stop because they will see this as a stamp of approval to do even more. So we know these things. And I know the American people. You do, too. You talk to them every day. This country is the greatest on earth because we do not fall for this. And we understand what we're seeing. And we're going to do the right thing.
Amen to everything you just said, Tammy Bruce. And that's so spot on, that we have to love our children. We have to love our future more than we hate the mean tweets or whatever it is.
Correct.
That you've put the category into distaste for Donald Trump. There's so much more at
exactly.
stake than our feelings, the things that matter.
Yeah.
Tammy, thank
that's
you.
Right.
We appreciate you so much. Thanks
My
for being
pleasure.
Here.
Thank you, dear.
Take care. Bye-bye. Tammy Bruce is a Fox News contributor, an AMAC columnist, and a best-selling author. Must-read book, Fear Itself, Exposing the Left's Mind-Killing Agenda. Speaks right to my heart there when she's talking about how we have to know what's at stake here, and we can't be in a position where we are so emotionally sensitive to the way one person talks to the point where we would vote against our own children's best interests in this country. We have to do better. Well said, Tammy Bruce, and grateful to have her on. Quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America. Don't go away.
Nobody knows. Baby, get ready.